This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
Welcome back once again to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, the podcast. And I'm talking a little bit of a draw because it is lit. It is great. It's fantastic. I've been having Sochu all night. Alex Reno's waving his hand. He wants to cut this right now. What's your problem, Alex?
Oh, man. I don't know if you should be doing this right now, Chris, but let's get it started.
That's Alex Reno, editor for Pride of Detroit. I'm Chris Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit. At Alex underscore Reno for him, at Malkovich Plan for myself, and Ryan Matthews is finally back with us. Ryan, hello.
It's the return. How are you guys doing?
Return.
I see Reno's drinking a Miller Lite, so I guess you two are lit.
I'm having a mule right now, but I've been out with sushi all night.
I'm not quite lit. We're not going to get to the status of me during the Michigan State-Iowa game, but...
We did share that tale on the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, we did. We don't have to talk about it again. Don't worry.
Well, we do, but...
No, we really don't.
That's Ryan Matthews at Ryan underscore POD. He's one of the editors and erstwhile fantasy guru of Pride Detroit. We're going to have a fantasy article this week, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean... Jeremy, you guys... Yeah, we usually get one almost every
usually,
week.
Usually, yeah.
Like 2 minutes before it starts.
See, this is the thing, though, about fantasy football is that who cares right now? Who cares? Like, if you're playing FanDuel, like, in the playoffs, like, you don't give a shit about
football.
You're
a degenerate.
Yeah, you are a degenerate. Hey, and the only beacon of hope in the sea of nothingness and uselessness is fearless leader Jeremy, who doesn't care about fantasy football for like 19 weeks out of the year. So bravo to him.
I actually did FanDuel last week.
He's sincere about collecting those checks from FanDuel.
Yeah, and I actually did FanDuel last week, but I picked like everybody from the Seahawks-Minnesota game, and it was just completely frozen, and nobody wanted to pass the ball. It was a bad idea.
Can we talk about that game? Like, how do you feel about for Vikings fans?
Well... If you went on YouTube to search all of the Minnesota Vikings reactions, then you can feel it for them because it was pretty bad.
Ryan, they are a divisional rival. Ryan, do you feel tears for what should be the enemy?
No, I'm not going to cry for Argentina, which means I'm not going to cry for Minnesota fans either.
Okay.
I don't feel any remorse. I mean, like, come on. Like, the Dallas game, like... That pales in comparison. I understand. You missed a 27-yarder. But, like, isn't that just, like, the age-old, like
well,
thing about kickers is that, like, they make the field goals when they apparently don't matter. Like, he put up all 9 points, but he misses the one that he should make. It's like,
yeah, and now he gets death
poor
threats.
Poor Blair Walsh. Poor guy. I feel bad for him, but I just don't care about the loss itself.
He gets death threats, but now did you see he's getting letters from, like, school children, like,
yeah,
saying, like, good job trying your best, man, which we should all do.
Good job. Good effort.
Because they were told by the teachers to do so.
Yeah, good job. That good job, good effort, kid. What game was that? Was that a Lakers game?
Might have been. I don't know.
You don't know what I'm even talking about, do you?
No, I don't. Generally, I do, though, Chris.
Okay.
I don't ever.
I feel sad when you don't.
Very sad. I don't want you to feel sad.
But no. Yeah, I laughed. I didn't care.
I don't feel much for Vikings. They're technically the enemy, and I mean, they beat us twice this year, so I mean,
and their horn broke. So
yeah, and they brought out that like really old horn with like the wooden dragon.
It's looking cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Like, why do they ever get away from the old y'all? How do you even say that thing? I suck at Norse.
I don't speak Viking.
Y'all a horse shit.
I don't speak Beowulf.
Skull.
It was worth the loss. Was
the only
worth
skull
it,
I know is Chaw. What were you saying, Reno?
I said the loss was worth it for all the memes. It was definitely worth it.
Yeah. Crying Jordan is still alive and well in 2016.
Yeah, isn't that great? Crying Jordan has passed over from 2015 to 2016 and it hasn't missed a beat and it's still the
it's
funniest
not gonna
meme.
Die.
Amazing.
Yeah. Nobody's ruined it. There hasn't been an old white man to ruin Crying Jordan yet, so
not yet, not like dabbing.
Oh gosh.
dabbing.
But apparently, Crying Jordan's very limited to Twitter. But I mean, we'll just let that run as it.
That's good. We don't want to get it onto Facebook.
Yeah, no, we don't. We do not. Speaking of crying, though, we also had a new meme. Is it meme or meme?
It's definitely meme. Don't
Bryce
get
Harper.
To the Bryce Harper stuff.
No, Ja was saying it as meme, I thought.
Is it GIF or JIF?
Oh, for the love of...
gosh.
Crying Bengals woman.
Crying Bengals woman.
You seen this one yet?
I think I saw that one, yeah.
I don't think I saw that one.
It's not going to overtake Crying Jordan, but it was pretty good.
It's a nice spinoff. We'll just put it that way. Yeah. Bengals, I don't even know what to say about that.
That was embarrassing.
Like, there are so many perfect hot takes about...
He doesn't belong in the NFL. That's all I gotta say.
No.
He doesn't.
But at the same time, too, just some of the stuff surrounding it was just funny. Like, you're not gonna tell me that in the height of competition that Marvin Lewis mm-hmm. should take yep. out perfect because he wants to win that game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
he's their best
linebacker
by far, so you might as well.
How do you feel about these playoffs so far in general, though? Like, are we happy with them? Because, I mean, other than watching the Bengals and the Vikings implode, these have been fairly ho-hum games.
I don't know. The playoffs have been just more football. I don't know. I really just want to see Arizona and Carolina play.
Yeah, we're kind of trying to fast forward to that. Like, the Texans got shut out, and that was... perfect.
It was Brian Hoyer's last game as a starting quarterback
ever.
I don't know, man. If we're gonna have AJ McCarron and all these backups just keep continuing to get chances, then I think Kellen Moore. I mean,
oh my god.
I just mean that it's gonna be like this season was the only season in the last season where there's any point that there wasn't an injury that forced Hoyer to be the number one quarterback. There will never be another job opportunity for him as somebody's starter.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Maybe.
Unless the Browns are calling.
And yet I don't see the Texans drafting a quarterback is the problem. Because they're going to be drafting 22nd, and who are they going to get?
Connor Cook.
He could call. He had a really, really rough game against Alabama.
Yeah, where are all the Lions fans that won Connor Cook now?
By the way, shout out to Alabama, the national title winners, Roll Tide.
Nick Saban is hella young. I just said hella like it was 2006.
He's not hella young. He's almost 70.
He's
that
old.
Man does
he
not,
looks
that
young.
Man does not look like he's in his mid-60s.
Yeah, he looks young.
You know what it is? It's all the Debbie snack cakes he eats. It like preserves him in the same.
His skin is being preserved.
I mean, he did some time in Miami too. So, I mean, there's probably something else going on there.
Yeah, he's going to end up a feral ghoul.
Fallout.
Yeah, but so let's see. The Bengals game was great theater. The Vikings game, outside of like the incredible play by Russell Wilson, that game was pretty much boring as all hell.
Packers rolled all over the Vikings after they woke up from the first quarter.
Aaron Rodgers, that was a painful game. I hate seeing Aaron Rodgers smile.
Fans who wanted Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers. According to those polls, you got to be feeling yourself today.
Oh, the Packers and Redskins game? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm still on the Kirk bandwagon. I'm not going to jump off that quite yet.
You still like that.
You all still like that.
You all still like.
Can we before we maybe this next round then? Or like we're trying, if you can tell, we're trying to avoid talking about the Lions too much on here just because it's... a long podcast.
And there's nothing to talk about right now, let's be honest.
We're going to talk Lions on here.
Let's talk about the Packers-Arizona rematch. You think it's going to go differently? Aren't they playing this week?
They are. And is that in Phoenix? I mean, Glendale?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's in Arizona. And I think they won by like 30 points not too long ago. But is this is Aaron Rodgers back right now?
No.
Is he Aaron Rodgers again?
He got to play a Washington defense that has been Basura all year.
Who has, guess who the defensive coordinator is? Joe Barry.
Joe Barry, all right.
Yeah. Flashbacks to 0-16.
No, I think this is a wash. I don't even know what the line is, but I think it's going to be cards.
I agree.
I'm more interested in Chiefs-Patriots right now because the Patriots, I mean, the Chiefs looked really good, and not just because they were rolling all over the Texans. They just looked like up, down, a complete team.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good, and for some reason I just have this feeling that everybody's going to jump on the Chiefs bandwagon and then the Patriots are just going to throw out all their four stringers and then somehow pull out a win anyway.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind that either just because we're in a position where Kansas City could, in a sports calendar year, win a World Series and a Super Bowl if they beat the Patriots, and that will make those people just unbelievably insufferable.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of Earth if that is the case. But, I mean, I think it's a real possibility. If Julian Edelman isn't healthy, I think that the Chiefs have a very good shot at winning that game.
They absolutely do. They have a defense that is still, I mean, it's not great, but it's an effective defense.
It's just a scary defensive line.
It's a scary defensive line, and they have a scary pass rush, but never underestimate how protected Tom Brady will be and how many potential, like, game-changing personal foul calls might be made.
I'm sorry, this is a byproduct of the litmus, but I meant effective offense. Their offense is, like, not flashy, but they will get yards. But the defense is really good, too.
Marcus Peters. Don't forget about Marcus Peters. Did I hear something about Gronk being injured today, too?
Gronk is injured any day. Like, it's like winning the Powerball. Just one day you're going to look up and he's just going to have, like, a can of Four Loko shoved through his tibia.
All right. No, but I thought I saw something like, I don't even know, man. What else are we going to talk about here?
Seattle, Carolina.
Oh, this is the game of the week for me.
Seattle, Carolina is?
Yeah.
Well, Seattle's going to win, that's why.
No, you know what? My Panthers friends are all thinking like you, Alex. They are all fatalistic. They're like, bleep that Vikings game. Now we're going to lose to Seattle. I'm like, what are you talking about? You guys are way better than this team, but everyone is believing about the God-given
juju. They're
already
making cop-outs.
Yeah, they're all believing in the juju that the Seahawks are bringing down.
They're all believing in the nano water.
Even though this game is going to be played at like 10 a.m. local Seattle time.
And they were complaining about that, weren't they?
They always do. Every time the Seahawks have to go east, they always complain about that.
And they always win when they play at 10 o'clock, too. So why are they complaining?
I don't know. I don't see them really beating this Panthers team. But at the same time, like, Russell Wilson keeps making those stupid plays. Like, when that snap got botched, I'm like, just watch. He's going to somehow find a way to complete this. And he did.
I agree, Chris. I would not at all be shocked, like, if they pulled off a win, but I'll be very upset, though, because I need to see a Carolina-Arizona game.
Yeah, I want more than that. I want Cam in the Super Bowl.
I don't know about that. I mean, Carson Palmer, guys.
Cam's just, oh, man.
Hold on. I remember the very beginning of this year that Chris Lemieux was not a Carson Palmer believer.
No, I wasn't.
Are you still
not?
I
would whisper Carson Palmer over the podcast constantly.
I reserve the right to make my decision until after.
After?
No, he's like an MVP candidate.
No. Cam Newton's the MVP.
I said candidate.
Candidate, but not winner.
He could.
Okay.
He had a great year, Chris. Come on. Give him some love.
No.
It's a two-man race. It's either Cam or Brady, and I think Cam should win it, unless the stupid narrative of, well, Brady didn't have any weapons for, like, a few weeks prevails.
I think the Brady haterade will keep us from Deflategate, will keep us from reaching that conclusion, but...
I really hope so.
Thank God.
Because if you want to make a comparison of Brady not having Gronk and Edelman for a few weeks versus the garbage that Cam Newton's had to throw
to. It's like Greg Olsen and then like
Devin
a pair
Funchess.
Of pliers. Yeah. Funchess. Oh,
like the last thing I would want to do if I had a small child would hand him off to Ted Ginn Jr. because he's dropping him.
Yeah, they. Yeah, I mean, if you give it to either guy, I'm not going to argue.
Philly Brown is the second wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers.
And even if Kelvin Benjamin was healthy, he's not very good, if you ask me.
What about the AFC then? Like, do you want to see? I think we talked a little bit about Chiefs Pats. So, last one is Steelers Broncos. The question is, are we going to see Peyton Manning trotted out there again in the cold? It's January, and then people are going to realize, oh crap, it's January. It's Peyton Manning. He's throwing all these ducks to Steelers corners.
I think they are going to put Peyton in there. And, I mean, he already can't feel his fingers without the cold. So,
yeah, people have forgotten what happens to Peyton Manning in January.
Yeah, he's awful in the playoffs. And I really want to see the Steelers win that game. But I just don't see – I don't think it's going to happen. Like, do we even know
if – banged up.
Do we even know if Antonio Brown's going to play? Ben got hurt at the end of the game.
I think Roethlisberger's going to play. I mean, just because Roethlisberger always plays, he's going to come down a couple of years where it's just going to be like, I am nearly paralyzed because I kept playing through all this stuff. Because each time I go off the field, I somehow come back magically ready to play. And you know they are giving him like horse gauge shots somewhere of some god-awful German experimental medicine.
Shout out to Bengals fans, though, for throwing garbage at Ben Roethlisberger as he's being carted off the field.
Keeping up that proud Ohio fan tradition dating back to when
Cleveland was so fucking mad that game. I was so mad. If the Bengals won that game, I would have just thrown shit around.
The Bengals winning, but that was weird.
They did not deserve that at all. I'm sorry. And
at the same time, you can't say that the Bengals also deserve to lose that just because Joey Porter came onto the field and talked shit at Pac-Man Jones.
I don't care about that.
Joey Porter shouldn't have been on the field.
Okay, because his player got injured. Like, talking shit, I get it, because you shouldn't be doing that. Like that.
Shout out Pac-Man Jones for posting the video of the year so far on Instagram post game.
That and saying that Antonio Brown deserves a Grammy for acting.
Wrong award.
Adam Jones has owned 2016 so far, and that's something I thought I would never say.
He's a dumb motherfucker, I'll tell you.
Oh wow. Alex's language is lit. Chris is lit. I need to catch up.
Yeah, we should actually talk a little bit about the Lions, though. This is technically a Lions podcast.
Okay.
Or do you guys want to keep talking about the playoffs? I'm fine talking about the playoffs still.
Can we just all do like quick playoff predictions for this week?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. So Kansas City, New England. Chris,
I'm going to call Kansas City in the upset here. Okay. I'm feeling their juju.
Feeling the juju. Alex, how do you feel about Kansas City, New England?
Never count out touchdown Tom.
Yeah. I want Kansas City to win, but you can't get nothing to stick on Teflon Tom.
Teflon touchdown. All right, Steelers Broncos. Let's go backwards in order now. Ryan.
I don't want to see the Broncos win any more football games. I want the Steelers offense to play more football games because it'll be entertaining. Steelers.
Alex.
You're wearing a Steelers hoodie. Come on.
I am wearing a Steelers hoodie, and I want the Steelers to win, but I just... With the banged up Ben and the possibility of Antonio Brown not playing, I just don't see how the Broncos lose this game. And I never want to see Peyton play another game or do a nationwide commercial ever again.
Chris?
I was trying... That silence you heard there, or not heard, whatever... was me trying to think of a good like faux nationwide jingle, and I just couldn't think of one on the spot. So I'm going to take the Broncos.
That'll work.
Okay.
That'll work.
Yeah,
that's
sure. I agree. I think the Steelers
just
going to
shoot myself like, right now.
I think it was a pyrrhic victory in Cincinnati for the Steelers. And I feel like they're going to reach Denver and be like, oh no, what is all this? And if, you know what? Hey, guess what? If the Broncos and the Patriots both win these games, congratulations. You get what everyone has, what all these odorous mother bleepers at NBC and CBS and everyone else have wanted. AFC Championship, Brady Manning Bowl.
What would this be? This would be like Brady Manning Bowl, like 12, like
30 or something.
Just rename it the Old Man Bowl.
Like yeah. This would probably be the last Brady Manning Bowl too, unless Peyton comes back again, which if that happens, the Broncos are just insane.
If that happens, he needs to find another team where he plays 8 games in a dome and he plays as many other games as he can in warm weather or in a dome. He needs to go to the AFC South.
And how would you feel?
Let's get a petition for him to go to the Texans.
Hey, you know what? Hey, look, you know, the Rams might need a quarterback next year. They're going to L.A.
That's cool, but what about the Texans? You get to throw to DeAndre Hopkins? That'll be fun.
That would actually, I would like that, just because DeAndre Hopkins is going to end up like Steve Smith, where it's like, hey, I am this amazing wide receiver, and I am never going to play with a good quarterback while I'm here in Houston.
What if Peyton does come back, but he stays with the Broncos? Like, how would you feel if you're Brock Osweiler that you're still going to back up like a guy with half of a throwing
hand? I am just going to be just cursing on the sidelines nonstop. It's going to be like how Aaron Rodgers kept trying to start for the Packers, but Brett Favre kept coming back and throwing him back to the bench.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, you know what? We should probably pose that question to Aaron Rodgers. He'd have a good answer for it.
Not that we're thinking that Brock is Aaron, but...
Right. Speaking of Packers, Packers or Cardinals, Reno?
Cardinals. They just beat them by like 30 points.
Yeah, give me the cards.
I don't believe that the Aaron Rodgers we saw against the Redskins is going to be the Aaron Rodgers we see again.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals in that one too. And then Seattle, Carolina.
Carson Palmer.
I'm going to take Carolina. I think all these fears are going to be allayed because, yeah, the Seahawks have Russell Wilson, but the Panthers have Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Seahawks. Seahawks are back. The offense is lit.
They never went anywhere.
No, they were bad, sort of. We should have beat them.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I don't think people are giving enough credit to what Cam Newton can do. Like, just given what this team is, plus that defense that they play, like, I just think if it comes down to it, you're going to see, like, this could be a game that could just make Cam Newton, like, a god.
God.
A god.
Yep.
G-A-W-D.
He could do it, but I gotta take the Seahawks.
Yes. Non-believers.
Hold on, so I have a second question that's semi-Lions related. Who has a better chance of playing next year for an NFL team, Marshawn Lynch or Calvin Johnson?
What's wrong with Marshawn? Back?
I feel like Marshawn is just, like, done. Like, what is all this stuff? Like, wasn't he supposed to play in Minnesota last week? Like, everybody thought he was going to play, and then he decides to, like, hold himself out?
Forgive me for, like, not being in touch right now, but what's even wrong with him right now?
Well, he had the hernia surgery, like, stemming back from, like, the regular season. And okay. I don't know. He just seems like the kind of guy who, like, just one day in July, he might say, you know what? I'm done. I don't need to play football anymore.
Nah, he's just here so he won't get fined?
I'm good, man. I'm just here so I can not play.
Yeah. And
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Just here for the Skittles, and I got plenty enough money for Skittles for the rest of my life.
No, so. I'm saying Marshawn just because I am convinced that Calvin Johnson is going to be hanging them off soon. It's not a reality we want to really confront, but I think Calvin Johnson is going to hang them up real soon.
If I'm going to answer the question completely honestly, so we're talking about just next year, and that's it, I think there's no way Calvin Johnson is going to retire right now. I don't think. Even if we,
you think he goes one more year?
Yeah, I think Calvin goes at least one more year.
Okay. What do you think, Ryan? You're the one that posed the question.
I mean, I hope Calvin plays for, you know, a couple more years. I mean, I think he has it left in the tank. But I mean, I honestly could see like Marshawn Lynch retiring at the end of the year, just because like. I can't put anything past him. Like, he's slowly moving into, like, the Tyson zone, where, like, you could tell me anything about Marshawn Lynch, and I'd be like, yep, probably.
The Bo Jackson mythology?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, he's a guy who's been banged up, too. Like, this hernia surgery, he was injured last year. I mean...
But for me, it's like Marshawn just got to money is the thing. Like Calvin Johnson's had the mega contract for a while. Marshawn, like, I don't know. Like, he was basically considered damaged goods and no one really wanted him after he got, you know, kicked out of Buffalo.
Yeah, like, I mean,
Seattle
that's true.
Was his last chance.
Yeah, I mean, they're both, I mean, Calvin's 30, right?
Yeah, but I just think Marshawn can command another contract if he wants to.
Yeah, and with Calvin, I don't think the question is whether he has anything left in the tank or not. It's just, like, if we have another coach and we have to start over again, I just don't think he has it in him to even want to be here for that.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing.
Kind of rolling us into it, we are going to finally talk about some Lions, I feel, right here. That's Bob Quinn, who, that was quick. I think, when did they hire, like, we recorded the last podcast on what, on Wednesday?
It was Thursday of last week.
It was Thursday, yeah, we released it Friday morning, and then by Friday afternoon, Bob Quinn was the new manager for the Detroit Lions.
Yep, and he had his presser on Monday.
Wicked awesome.
Wicked. We need to talk about this. This is the most important part I took away from the Bob Quinn presser, is that if he wants to be successful in Detroit, he needs to stop hiding his accent. We know it's there. We heard him unleash the junior when he was talking about one of the Ford kids. Was it Henry Ford Jr. or was it William Jr.? I don't remember.
You're asking the wrong guy. I didn't hear it.
I don't have a clear, like, genealogy of the Ford family. I'm sorry. But
Get in the car.
See... He hid that, though. Like, he comes out and he says, he drops the junior, and then he immediately corrects himself to this, like, stale Midwestern accent. And all I'm thinking to myself is, why do you need to do that? We have a Tennessean down there as the offensive coordinator right now.
Junior.
Yeah, as Jim Bob Cooter would say, cut it loose. Let's go. Let's not hide this.
Yeah, leave it all out in the open, Bob Quinn. We don't mind who you are. We actually need to figure out who you are, so just be yourself.
Yeah. Like, stop trying to be this pre-programmed robot that Belichick's sending out here. Like, yeah, let's do this.
Speaking of getting to know who he is, what's up with the beat writers just asking the same old garbage over and over, and we still have no idea who Bob Quinn is because of that?
Well, everyone wants to know who the coach is, right? And that's kind of clogging up the system. Everyone wants to know what's going to happen to Caldwell, and Quinn's like, no, I'm not telling you. And I think I saw the best way... I think it was it Stargill? Was it, what's his, Dave Hogg, Star Eagle.
Oh, Star Eagle,
On Twitter, said that basically, like, Bob Quinn's learned from the best in Belichick, except he's much nicer about telling you absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I mean, everyone does that too, right? But, yeah.
I mean, if you got nothing to say, if you don't have a coach, then there's just nothing to say.
So, but, like, all of the questions from the press conference were, like, Caldwell-oriented. Like, they're all, like, you know, what would go into the decision on Caldwell? Like, what was the first time he met Caldwell? Like, what happened? How long did they talk for? Like, you know, does he have any, like, predetermined perceptions of Caldwell? Like,
what system are you going to put in?
Right. How much would factor in players' widespread support of Caldwell? Can you win a Super Bowl with Caldwell? When do you plan on meeting with him? It's like, geez, leave it alone. Like...
Yeah, it felt like there was a one-track mind, and people wanted the quotes on that because that was going to drive what the narrative is going to be. And the narrative right now is what's going on with Caldwell, and we've been taking these barometers on what's going to happen with Caldwell. Suddenly one week it's like, oh, wow, all these players support Caldwell might stay. To all of a sudden NFL Network's like, oh, Bob Quinn's coming in. I don't know if Caldwell's going to be able to stay. And it's just like – but, I mean, I guess it's kind of the problem of being a general manager in this league, right? Once again – not a lot of people really know much about the general managers or what they do. They want to know about the coach.
Yeah, they're hounds, man.
It's fair. I mean, it's totally fair. I mean, I understand that that's what's going to, like you said, that's what's going to push the narrative, or that's what people are interested in right now. And Caldwell always ends up being the figurehead. I mean, that's why I don't know why there was so much fuss over, you know, Bob Quinn and the GM search. I mean, we really didn't care about who was going to be hired as GM. We cared about who was going to be hired GM and what their feelings about Caldwell were going to be.
Right. And I feel like when we did hire the GM, and I wrote my column to this effect, is that like we just kind of made up shit as we were going along. We were just making up. We were either going on the narrative of, oh, this is a Patriots guy. He's either A, learned from the best, or B, will be a shadow of himself once he leaves Foxborough. Or it's a matter, you know, it's taking Gilbrandt's word and just feeding it down this human centipede to everyone else on, you know, what a great guy he is. Or, I mean, I don't know. Or it's this, yeah, whole subplot of the Lions didn't ever interview Trent Kirchner, and that's somehow a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't get that, because as some other people have pointed out, like every time Ernie Accorsi has done his consulting, he's picked, I guess, maybe two or three people, and he just stuck with that. Like, he hasn't gone more than three people.
And by the way, what a gangster move by Martha Ford to just pay hush money to Ernie Accorsi to keep him from going anywhere else and hiring any more general managers.
I love it. Firestone.
That's great.
So that's about everything we have for Lions talk.
I mean, what else are we going to say about this general manager hire? Are we going to sit up here?
Exactly.
What else are we going to say? Like, I've already made my opinion clear, is that there's no real reason for me to grade this. And I don't want to force either of you guys into come out here be saying, oh, great pick or awful pick or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Like, yeah. I'm sure this guy has some strengths when it comes to scouting, but what really do we know right now?
Well, at least we didn't pick that Casario guy, because I just didn't want to look at his face anymore. That is the creepiest looking dude I've ever seen.
And if I mean, what else are we going to say about Caldwell? I'm sorry, Ryan, you were saying something before.
Oh, no. I was going to say that if you want to find grades, you can go on Detroit Free Press right now, and they have somebody who graded all of Bob Quinn's responses to questions during his presser.
Oh, my.
You've got to be kidding me.
There's an analysis and an analysis and a grade for every single response he gave to each question about Caldwell during the presser.
Come on, man.
Was it who writes for the Freep?
Carlos
Sharp?
Is it Carlos Monterrez?
Oh, is that isn't he the one who got, like, you know, when Caldwell got really pissant with the
yeah,
press?
I think he's the one that said,
wrote a takedown on him.
Yeah, he said he. I think that's the guy that wrote the article saying Caldwell has to be fired.
Right after that, that was like immediately after Caldwell like was taking some pot shots at the expense of the beat writers.
Yeah, let me give you a quick sample. When Quinn was asked if he could win a Super Bowl with Caldwell, this is what Bob Quinn said. He said, "From what I know, like I said at the beginning, I'm going to meet with Coach Caldwell here in the next couple of days. So until then, I'm going to reserve judgment and go from there." And Carlos's analysis and grade was brutal question, but really the only one that matters. Quinn was simply checkmated here and was forced to punt. Not good for Caldwell.
What?
Grade
B plus.
F.
South.
Grade
F. F.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to read this now.
So
come on.
You guys have to read this article, because it literally runs the gamut of grades.
I don't want
to
take too many.
It's anywhere from A to F, but yeah.
I don't want to take too many shots of these beat writers, because we rely on them for a lot of our news. And I don't want to take too many shots of the Free Press, because it's, you know, that and the news are like the great Detroit
no,
papers.
No, you definitely
everything.
Can but, take a shot at that one. That's ridiculous.
I mean, that just seems excessive, right? That it just
it
seems like
excessive.
it's too much. It's too much. And it's I understand, like, the Lions are under such a hyper microscope. It feels like we're just looking at every atom of what the Lions are right now, and people have hyperventilated to the point where it's like they've auto-hypnotized themselves into believing this team needs to win a Super Bowl right now. Nothing else is acceptable. And it just feels like it just all feels like too much. It feels like too much. This team isn't ready to win a Super Bowl.
Can you link me to that, Ryan? Like right now?
Yeah, for sure. I can do that for you.
Yeah, just do that in the middle of this podcast. Sure.
That's fine.
But anyways, so
by the way,
where do we go from here, Chris?
Just one more thing on the free press. Sure. Wasn't the Drew Sharp one? Wasn't it Drew Sharp who immediately came out with the angle of this is you know, once again the cast off of the Patriots?
You might.
Yeah,
have,
that sounds like him. That sounds like Drew Sharp. I mean,
sounds like something Drew Sharp would
we
write.
We could have. Yeah, we could.
I'm
win
not
the Super
one
Bowl
saying
and
it. You guys
negative
saying
about it.
I want to keep my bridges safe if I ever get into this.
No, Drew Sharp is awful. It's
in
okay.
case they go, scouring the iTunes podcast.
Yeah, yeah, I don't.
Not
know.
Gonna happen.
Look, man, we post these links on Twitter.
They're out there. They're public.
They're out there. They look at us. At least Justin Rogers does from M Live. Maybe. Dave,
yeah, they're not gonna make it until like the 50th minute of this podcast, though. So it's okay.
Technically, it's the 35th.
Whatever.
Shout out Mike O'Hara. He responded to me on Twitter on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Mike O'Hara is great.
I got much respect for him. He always puts things in great historical context.
I like Justin Rogers too. He's cool.
I like Justin Rogers and Minky.
The M Live guys are great.
Somewhat like Katzenstein sometimes, only because he follows me on Twitter, and that's kind of cool. But whatever.
I mean, I like Katzenstein too, but it feels like a couple times he just feels like he's trolling out there for certain responses. So.
Yeah, Katzenstein also beat me on fantasy football, so fuck that guy. I'm sorry.
And of course, since we're on Detroit pundits and beat writers, shout out to Wojo, because that guy's columns are great.
And also, rest in peace, and I miss you, Killer.
All righty. Like
Kowalski, guys?
You want to do some questions? We are way Lions'd out right now. Like,
yeah, can we just go to questions?
Like, Alex and I are starting to do our mock draft, but there's just nothing to really cook right now.
No, we can't. We are not allowed to talk about college football.
No. Speaking of which, and the future of this podcast, when is Royal Rumble? Is that
24th, I believe.
Okay,
24th?
So next podcast, 26th. I'm going to try to... I think next podcast, no matter what happens, we're going to be talking some Royal Rumble.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
We might have a special guest. I don't want to commit to anything yet because I haven't reached out to him, but...
Oh, wow, that'd be incredible.
Yeah, yeah, he knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have a backup plan, too, so...
That's fine. I mean, anyone is great. I'm
lazy
with this stuff, but I'm trying to get better at it. Let's get to the questions, though, because we have some really... I feel proud of the Pride of Detroit commenters now. I feel like we've trained a lot of them into what kind of questions we want to get now, right?
And they bring it every week.
They've been bringing
it. I'm very happy with what they're putting
out
there.
Unless they're Kira, but...
You think I don't want to call out a comment.
No, I don't want to be an asshole. So okay. Let's just get to the questions.
Well, we are assholes.
We are assholes.
Anyways, so what's the
let's
do the questions. Let's get into it.
Well, do you want? Okay, let's start up here. This is a good one to start on because it's it's football related, but it's also a great question. Joseph R. Sweeney 5. Judging by the mixed reactions on the outcome of the Vikings game, seems that Lions fan allegiances are not as unified for neutral games as I thought. So with that in mind, what would be your quote-unquote NFL axis of evil, also known as the teams you can't root for no matter what? So I think he's just saying, pick four teams. These are the four teams that no matter what, you just never root for them, no matter what the game is.
Yeah, first of all, holy wow, great question. Yeah. Love it. Especially because it has like some historical allusions, and that's always fun for me. So four teams that I just absolutely could not root for. We're going to have to go like round robin because I can only think of like one at a time, but one for me is definitely the Cowboys. I could never ever see myself rooting for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm assuming, are we including divisional rivals in here too? Cause I mean,
we're going to have to, cause I don't think I can think of four out of the division. So,
well, I mean, I'm only going to pick one from the division cause obviously the Bears are definitely like number one. I will never root for the Bears no matter what it is.
God, the Bears. I think the Bears has to be in every single Lions fan's axis of evil for sure. They're
like,
just,
I mean, I could even make it Bears Packers and like share the two in a slot, but if you ask me between the two to pick only one, it would be the Bears. Like, there's just nothing I like about the Bears.
I agree. And their fans are the absolute worst.
Like, at least the Packers, they have some, like, wins to back it up. The Bears, like, they won a title back in, like, 1980 with the dumbest coach of all time. Woohoo.
And we own the Bears.
Choke slam right there, Chris. I like that. I like how you just lit
look,
that.
Man. Some people might think Ditka's Hall of Fame and everything, but just everything that comes out of that man's mouth is just gibberish.
Like gibberish. Why even give the Bears time on the podcast? We own the Bears.
We own the Bears. All right, next one, Alex. I think you were up.
I'm going to go out of the division right here, since we already covered the Bears and that's in mine. So, yeah. And Ryan said the Dallas Cowboys, which is also in mine.
Cowboys aren't in mine, but go on.
Yeah, they're both in mine. But since we already talked about them, and they only recently just got into my axis of evil or whatever. But it's the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, how can you boo and throw things at Ben Roethlisberger, who was legitimately hurt? And then I was just so angry, and I could not stand to see them win that game.
Yeah, maybe I'm used to it, because I remember I was living around Toledo about the time when the Browns were, like, raining down beer bottles against refs during the Jaguars game back.
Refs
and players, like they were really mad. That was like Browns Jaguars back in like 2003 or so, when Cleveland fans were just out of their mind. And by the way, I don't know. Do I really want to put the Browns in here? Because I don't like many other teams in the Midwest, and the Browns are on there, but.
But I could see myself rooting for the Browns. Like when the Browns first put in Johnny Manziel, like I had to root for
them. But I was rooting for Manziel on that point, not the Browns.
Fair point. I don't know. I was trying to think of outside of the division for this list, but right. I mean, I don't know. I would have to include the Bears and the Packers. So Bears, Packers, Cowboys. And I'm trying to think of a fourth team that I just absolutely could not root for.
I think I've got my four, if I can go through this.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to go purely outside the division, because let's just say middle finger to this entire division, right?
Wow.
Fair enough.
I mean, this is what it is. It's what you do with the NFC North, even
Chris
though we're
is going ham.
Look, we have a little more of a understanding with the Vikings, but everyone else bleep them. First off is up here. It's probably going to be I'm not going to go the Patriots. I'm going to go the Jets. Bleep the idea. Fuck the idea of New York having anything good ever. Okay. And the Jets, like people are
so
like,
are the Giants on there too?
No, just the Jets. Cause the Giants
but
are more
said New York.
Look, but the Giants are more new. Ryan. I mean, Alex, how many years have you been watching the NFL? You know that New Yorkers don't root for the Giants. They root for the Jets. The Giants are New Jersey.
Don't they both play in New Jersey?
They do, but Jersey people root for the Giants. New Yorkers root for the Jets.
That's fine. All right, I'll give it to you.
Acceptable. Also on here is the San Francisco 49ers. Because it doesn't take much to remember what kind of people 49ers fans are when they are really riled up. And
okay, fair enough.
I'm starting to lose steam here because now I'm trying to say it. You know what? I'll just go ahead and say the Cleveland Browns are on here. I know that's kicking someone when they're down, but
it really is. Like, how can you root for somebody who's so inept? Like
because they're Cleveland fans. I know what happens when Cleveland fans get riled up. I know what happens when they get riled up. They become crazy. It's like the Cavs fans. They basically says, you have to call us great or else you are our mortal enemy. Like, that's why I don't like it. Because I know what happens when you start giving Cleveland a taste. Like, once they get a taste, they won't stop.
All right, what's your fourth?
My fourth, actually, I've been staring at that NFC East list, and I'm trying to remember who it was, because, I like the Eagles too much to really do that.
Their fans are terrible, though.
I guess, but I mean, this is the weird thing. I've had good experiences all my Eagles experiences, so I'm going to have to go with, and I like the Raiders. I like that old Al Davis legacy. It's weird, I know. This is really tough now that I've got the NFC North out of this. I'm going to go with the Washington.
You like that?
Look, I mean, some of their fans, look, I've got quite a few of their fans as my friends, but as long as that man owns that team, no.
Kirk, baby.
We wasted a lot of time in this question. Why don't you guys get your four out of the way?
Can I talk about how I would root for Cleveland, but I just don't want to see them win before us? Like, I want to see them win because they kind of have gone through the same turmoil as we have, but I just don't want to see them, like, be successful before us.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, my four, I guess.
You can include division in here.
Yeah, I'm going to include divisional because I can't think of four out-of-division teams that I hate that much. But I'm going to leave the Vikings out because they just haven't been relevant for long enough to
And by the
be
way, if
there.
I can, I think it, my four, if I'm including division, would be Bears, Packers, Jets, and a toss-up between Washington and San Francisco.
But go. Yeah, definitely the Bears and Packers are my two, like, most hated teams in the NFL. And then I guess Ryan said the Cowboys, which I agree, and the Bengals I hate now. Screw them.
None of us have said Seahawks or Patriots.
Oh, I love the Seahawks and the Patriots. Touchdown, Tom.
And you know what? I probably wouldn't root for the Patriots either, but I mean, I see the problem is it's just been so long with this regime. I don't know what happens after them. But I mean, they are Boston fans. Ryan, let's get yours out of the way.
Oh, if we're going to include the division, I really can't stand the Cowboys, and then I can't root for the Vikings, the Packers, or the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's simple enough.
We spent a lot of time on that question. What's the next question?
Cut it loose. Next question, cut it loose.
How do we say this name again? I strip on this every time.
Is it Sybaris? Sybaris?
Sybaris. If Quinn were an ice cream, what flavor would he be?
If Quinn were, I think he answered his own question and probably gave the most perfect answer, actually.
What was it? I didn't see that.
I think he said like something like vanilla with like caramel inside or something. I don't know.
It's a sundae.
I don't know.
What? How? Why?
Because he just looks vanilla caramely. I don't know.
He's soft?
Oh,
he looks soft.
You went to the degree on that, man.
Whatever. You guys answer it.
I already said. I said rum raisin because I think that eventually he will be like a rich and flavorful experience for the Lions.
Rocky That's Road, terrible. Which is how I see this happening after probably Calvin Johnson like decides to retire and they try to get cut loose. Jim Caldwell and then goes with a coach that people are like, oh God.
Yeah, I don't have that much experience with ice cream or flavors, so yeah.
So in other words, cut it loose. Next question.
Next question. Okay.
Harrington HOF, this is one I really want to get to. Hypothetical given current events, if the Lions ever left Detroit, would you continue to root for them? And what would you do what would you do football wise?
If the Lions left Detroit, I would not root for the Lions anymore because I would have an out, and I would probably adopt another team in the NFC. And it's not just because of their success this year, but past few years, I have been dating a girl who is from Arizona, so that's my out.
Yes.
So I can
no.
So yes. I will firmly claim the Cardinals as my own team if Detroit were to ever leave. If Detroit were to ever leave, where do you think they would go? Like Wyoming?
London?
Wyoming.
London?
You know what? I thought for a long time.
Could they be the Mexico City Lions?
You know, I remember seeing some concept art of like, what if the Jaguars moved to Los Angeles or any place like that? And there was like a bunch of Aztec imagery of the Jaguars because Jaguar Warrior and everything.
Yeah,
that's
I thought
that would have been really cool, but...
give me the Cardinals too while we're at it.
Yeah, if the Lions ever left Detroit, I just give up on fandom. I just be like a neutral observer. Like if you tell me I can't root for a team and the team I root for isn't in Detroit, then I really have no interest in that team.
It would suck, but we got college football, so
here's the thing when it comes to this, and I just want to point this out, and I don't know if I'm writing an article on this or not, but just in case I don't, I'm gonna say it on the podcast. All y'all out there who really want the Fords to give up control of this family so they can find a winner, because you're not convinced that they are invested in this team winning. Be thankful the Fords have this family, because it's not like the Fords can very easily up and move out the Lions out of Detroit without a lot of backlash impacting like a bunch of their other businesses, right? Like, the Fords aren't really in a position to really just do what Stan Kroenke did.
No, I mean, they would do that and be thankful that they don't sell it, because granted, even when Tom Gores bought the team and that he, you know, he's from Michigan.
For the Pistons, was, yeah.
Pistons.
Right, yeah, when Tom Gores bought the Pistons, there was still like a slight, there was a slight sliver of maybe like discontent and thinking about like, well, what if he moves the Pistons,
right,
if he doesn't want to go back into the Palace?
Like, even though he's from Michigan, like, he lives pretty much excessively out west too.
Right, and I mean, obviously he wouldn't move him to California because they already have enough teams out there, but I mean, what would have kept him from saying, well, let's just move him up to Seattle?
Or Vegas or something.
Or Vegas, like, yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, really, anywhere. So, I mean, just be thankful that the Fords own this football team and that,
I mean, it's
all,
not like,
all the reasons that Chris kind of said.
It's not like the Fords haven't tried at some point or will try at some point to maybe get the auto industry of their end, like, out of Detroit. And even, and I mean, they're even kind of outside the city area as it is. But at the same time, too, like, it's not like they can completely divest themselves of Michigan, right? Like, they can't,
yeah,
they can't just, they just, it would be like political economic suicide for that family to just try to get move their football team while still having the rest of their industry in the state in Southeast,
sure,
Michigan.
Right.
Like,
and
can't do it.
I've said enough bad things about the Fords in the past too, but like, I don't think I've ever felt as much comfort as I do now with Martha Ford now. I mean, like, it just seems like she cares way more,
right,
about this team than any other Ford has in,
right,
the past.
I'm mostly speaking about the narrative that was swirling around Martha Ford before she started to lay the Firestone on us, and with, you know, the,
right,
late William Clay, rest in peace, where,
yeah,
you know,
I
the
agree.
Idea was he doesn't care about this team. He's not invested in this team. He's not paying attention to this team. Sell this team to someone who wants to win. And you can say that in the moment, but like, really be careful what you wish for. Really be careful what you wish for, because St. Louis right now is without a football team, and Oakland and San Diego might soon be soon to follow.
Yeah, I think San Diego
crazy.
Really, yeah, I think San Diego might pretty soon, but I don't see Oakland moving from Oakland. But.
No. What Mark Davis was saying, even if they don't go to L.A., he does not want to come back to Oakland. He wants to get out.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
San Antonio is kind of probably going to be the next big city that people start looking at for places to take teams.
Sure, why not?
Like
Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, whatever.
I mean, I'd probably still keep covering the Lions, but I would not be invested in it because it's no longer Detroit, and my loyalty is as a fan are to sports in Detroit. It's what I do. It's the city that I've kind of really come to put all my allegiances in, even though I've always reserved a clause to really just back out if I really need to. It's just that I really can't back out of any Detroit teams. Like, the Pistons were my first love. The Tigers kind of represent the city the best. And, I mean, the Red Wings, where else am I going to go? And I don't really care about hockey that much anymore, so.
Get out of here.
I mean, I still watch it, but it's just not something I'm thinking.
Nothing better than hockey
it's
playoffs.
It's nothing that I care about enough to think about, yeah, I might just want to, you know, renounce my loyalty. Right? Like, it's just, it's not there for me. Like, the Lions have been the most contentious, but at the same time, too, like, I still find fun even when the Lions are losing. But if they weren't in Detroit, I wouldn't care. I would just treat them like I would the Cleveland Browns.
And we know how you would treat them.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Like, where do I go for my football team after that? Because I'd have to go way outside the Midwest, because I feel nothing but contempt. You know what would happen? I'd probably finally go back to my cousins and say, you were right. The Lions are gone from Detroit. I will join you now. Give me a terrible towel.
Yeah, Pittsburgh too. I like Pittsburgh.
Do you know what you could do? Do you know what you could do though, Chris?
What's that?
You could start watching some real sports and just totally invest yourself into something else that's on every Monday night.
Wrestling.
Wrestling. That's some
real
sports.
Oh, I thought we were talking about arena football.
No. I'm just strictly talking about filling that void in your life.
Lingerie football, anybody?
Don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Cut it loose, Lemieux. Cut it loose. Next question.
Cut it loose. If rooting for the Lions was a drug, what drug would it be? From Cram 9030.
Any sort of laxative.
Yikes. So I'm going to go really nerd on this. I've been playing a lot of Fallout 4. You know, there's like two drugs in that game, one that slows down time and one that's supposed to make you into a killing machine. And in that game, you're able to combine the two drugs into one if you know a certain...
Psychojet?
Yes, the Lions are Psychojet.
I don't even want to answer this question because you guys both had way better answers than I could even begin to think of.
All right, cut it loose.
Cut it loose. Let's
great
see.
Great question, though.
Great. Here's a Lions specific question, and this is probably our last one here. Would you bring back Haloti Ngata? If so, at what price?
I would say cheap. Go ahead.
No, I agree with the beginning of your premise, so you should keep talking.
Okay, I was going to say, sure, as long as he's cheap, because it seems like he doesn't want to play until like week 12 anyway.
Yikes.
Yeah, that the injuries definitely kept him off the field and definitely kept his production limited. So,
but he
was very productive
when he was on there, too.
He was very productive when he actually was on the field, but that's a big problem. But I don't know. I think I agree with Reno that if he does come back, I definitely want it to be cheap. I don't know. I wouldn't spend too much money breaking the bank on Haloti Ngata.
Yeah. I just find it funny because we always do like the five questions or whatever with like during free agency with other teams' blogs saying how the player did in their past team or whatever. And like I remember the Ravens blog specifically said, get ready to wait until like the second half of the season for Haloti Ngata or whatever to finally pick up his game. And that's exactly what happened. So I don't know. I don't mind him
playing for that contract. Playing for that contract. It's a powerful drug. It's no Psychojet. It's no laxative. But
it's no What about you, Chris?
I've got no real opinion either way, to be honest. I really don't know what to make. I'm still processing what to make of the defensive line this year. Like there were definite good things from this line, but at the same time too, like I don't know what to think of it, and I don't know what to think of Haloti Ngata's role in it. I really don't. I would be lying if I said I paid that much attention to individual performance like that. Usually a football game is just, I'm just soaked in fear and panic and alcohol. Like me being able to do what you guys do.
So just like this podcast?
Yes. Like I just, except it's more just, it's more id involved. It's more just primal fear in everything. Like I can't do what Alex does, which is he sits there and he can analyze everything. I care far more about like team, like how the team does as a units and overarching things and narrative and media presence and everything. I can't do what you guys do in breaking down a single player like that. I just can't.
Right. Well, I mean, if I can say one last thing about Haloti Ngata, he's no Aaron Donald.
And we're done. We're out of here.
No, we're not out of here. We're not out of here until John Cena!